It's been a number of years since Callaway first introduced the Chrome Soft into the golf ball world, defining it as the ball that changed the ball. Today, they boast three different options in their Chrome Soft lineup, deeming them better for everyone, from amateurs to major winners. With Chrome Soft, Triple Track, and Truvis, as well as a number of color options in their affordable Super Soft lineup, there's absolutely a Callaway golf ball for everyone. For more information, visit www.callawaygolf.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me for the second time on the show is Mr. Ben Malloy of Evolve Golf. How are you, Ben?
Oh my goodness, Mr. Ben, that's scary. I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks for having me back on. I hope you're doing all right.
I figure if I say stuff like that, people might actually talk to me like that. And it's what a thrill that would be.
Well, Mr. Dan Edwards, I am pleased to be on your show this afternoon.
There it is. We had such a great time last time getting a little bit of an under the hood look at all the craziness that's going on. But before we really start talking about Evolve today, I want to hear what's going on with your golf game. Have you been playing?
I am finally playing again. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this last time, occupational hazard. Go in, you know, 70, 80 rounds a year, soggy dockers every morning, start a golf company, play less than five times a year for almost the last 20. And then, you know, a couple things went on and I was just like, you know what? I really need to reconnect, and gotten out about 20 times this year, and goodness, made some pars and birdies and some strings and started to feel right again. So hit the ball pure here and there.
Wow. Any courses that you've had an experience at this year that you just, you would definitely be excited to go back to, or any just kind of casual local stuff?
Casual local stuff, but a real gem for me is we've got a Muni, the Wilmington Municipal. It's a Donald Ross, and it's a treat to play. It really is. I love knocking it around. It's just, you know, always getting around those greens complex. It just makes you think, so I enjoy it a lot. Nothing spectacular yet. There's a couple hopes and dreams about maybe some late fall golf in the Pinehurst region. So we'll see if we get lucky.
Okay. I like that optimism. That's cool. But I also have to think that, you know, seeing your name everywhere, seeing the activity, there's not been a ton of time. I know you guys are working on something pretty big and new, a new headquarter location. How's that coming along?
It's coming. We were supposed to be in June 1, and I think anybody out there can understand supply chain challenges really kind of set back the build out. But I just walked it this morning. All the HVAC's in, all the electrical drops are in, all the plumbing, the walls. So it's a 10,000 square foot facility with about 4,000 square feet dedicated to three maker spaces. And those are the ones that we're most fired up about. I mean, absolutely having our own big warehouse and having all new offices is something we'll all appreciate. But we're chomping at the bit to fire up some new equipment and see what we can make.
Okay. So this is like Evolve at the next level. I mean, your name implies that things will continue to change and get better and evolve, if you will. But you said, I think, three different operating spaces. Is that basically your working areas?
Correct.
Are you isolating those in any sort of way, or is it just like location-based stuff that allows people to just get things done?
Yeah, there's definitely some workflow to it, but I mean, we've got, it's the EC2 Custom Works. And so today we've got Print Works and Foundry Works here at our current, we're launching Woodworks. And so that's going to have its own dedicated space with air handling and all the toys from CO2 to CNC systems. So we're really fired up about that. And then Foundry Works is getting expanded beyond anvils and presses. We're adding, you know, a fiber laser setup. We're looking to potentially do a real bronze pour again, and adding that to our mix. So really just trying to up the game in what we do there. And then one that's kind of run under the radar that we're really excited about is Leatherworks. We think we can bring our own unique twist to leather. And that would be together with Foundry Works in that production space. And then Print Works is getting expanded to have embroidery and a few other new toys that we're kind of keeping under wraps for a little bit longer, but it's really about creating a custom experience for the golfer, you know, whether it's an individual gift or member guest, you know, type gift.
I feel like I asked you to write me a postcard and you just wrote me a book. So my goodness,
sorry.
Like that's Ben, that's crazy. So you have current structure in place, Printworks, the Foundry, the whole concept there. You are going so far beyond that. It sounds like I don't know anything about it. So I'm kind of learning as we go here, but there are components. Let's go down right to the basics and say that you have an ability to produce, construct in certain different ways, unique products. And you mentioned all these little components that by little, I mean, all these small components that in the sum are going to create additional options for you. Like you mentioned lasers, you mentioned, I think it was like a fiber laser. You mentioned different cutting tools. What exactly does that mean for someone who's looking for a product from you, your team? Like what is going to change so dramatically?
You know, it's funny. I teased this one last time. So you take our P1RX repair tool, right? It's just a nylon repair tool that, you know, you get complimentary at a club or a resort. And we've always loved the design of it, but the idea to make it a multi-material, you know, kind of bespoke gift is right up there. So if you think of like a gentleman's pocket knife meets repair tool, where you could have, you know, turned wood together with stitched leather and hand forged metal into one piece. That's where we're going. I mean, we want to create a memorable piece that, you know, you're happy to put in your pocket, you know, and use, but you're just as happy to put it on display, you know.
Holy cow. I mean, you, you know, I have been an ardent and aggressively firm believer in the switchblade style divot tool. And you, mm-hmm. you're talking about this thing that's kind of more like a knife, you know, get it out of the pocket, do some fancy stuff with it. Like that is, I'm trying to get a handle on this because you just basically said like something you'd pull for free out of a thing at a golf course with a logo on it. Now suddenly it's this beautiful product that, that not only are you excited to use, but also to show your friends. And that's a big step. That's a big change.
And it's also, I mean, we put a lot of thought into the ergonomics of the design that we currently have on the repair tool. I should have brought one over to my desk and I don't want to run off camera to go get one, but we love the design. And I'm a big believer in having a thin footprint, you know, in terms of what you carry around the golf course. You know, the reason I love the Epoch is it's one tee in your pocket the entire round, you know? And so the idea to have a repair tool that could have a really small footprint, you know, not be this big, heavy, you know, switchblade type deal, but something that works for what it's intended to do. But when you put it away, it's back away. And it doesn't really aggravate you. So, we really do want to bring class to what we do. I think that's, you know, everybody throws around bespoke all the time, but that's the idea. We want it to have a story to it. We want the materials that we put into it to be considered too. I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this, our sustainability side. I mean, we want to use upcycled wood. We want to use upcycled leathers, even upcycled metals, just to create these pieces. And I think that's something that we can accomplish.
Yeah, I really like that you mentioned that bespoke is such a blanket statement because you hear it and I mean, it means an awful lot of things. But my curiosity around that, Ben, is what exactly does bespoke mean to evolve and what is unique about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should start with belonging to the game, like being true to the traditions of the game. It should be rooted in something, right? I mean, like when you think of, you know, the early, you know, turnings of the game around golf courses, they were forged irons, you know, they were done on anvils, you know, as leathery balls and feathers inside of them and stuff like that. So like these were pieces made by hand. And I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is it's highly considered in terms of what the materials are. And I think that means something a little different today. I mean, obviously you want to use fine materials, but if you can think about how they're sourced and giving something another, you know, another chance in terms of upcycling an old bench or something that might've been part of a private club, you know, their history, but it's somehow fallen into disrepair and it needs to go on to be something else. I mean, what could you do? What could you turn out of it? Those type of things. So we want to be able to tell stories from the pieces that we make too. So I guess that's what it is for me is it's just something that has a certain fit and finish. It's belonging to the game and that it's considered in how it's built.
So like, this is what's in my head right now, right? You've had this bench at a random golf course that's 100 years old and it's kind of rattied and, you know, it needs a little bit of love or a lot of love and they're thinking about replacing it. So you're going to grab that bench. you could potentially take that wood and repurpose it into a tool. So effectively you're selling a product that has been a part of one of the biggest components of the history of golf. Is that effectively the goal here? And certainly not to
it's
that
part depth. Of it. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's definitely, that's the aspiration, right? Okay.
Yeah. So, and then you're also, I remember the last time we had a conversation, it was really cool because you're talking about using old leather from car seats or, you know, taking different pieces of metal that had a purpose at one point. You're redefining that into a condition of your own. And this is all stemming from that little piece of plastic nothing that you would grab for free at a golf course. Like that is sure. How your brain works, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not necessarily, it's like an upside down umbrella. You get the point. You're like moving upwards from there and getting crazy. I love that.
I appreciate it. Yeah. It's fun. And it's, you know, the other part of it too, is customers come to us with just wild ideas and it's, can we execute on it? You know, and that's the big challenge, you know, it could be as simple as, you know, big storm came through, thunderstorm, light, you know, had a tree fall. You know, can we get that wood? Can we age it for a couple of years and then turn it into something? You know, it's all sorts of different ideas. Okay. We just want to make great stuff that people walk away with and say, yeah, this was well made. This was a cool idea.
What's interesting to me is I see. So, for example, I was at Ballyhack a few weeks back, who has actually quite a bit of Evolve product in their pro shop, as well as Motionwell. I feel like, visually speaking, there is an identity that comes along with a lot of that. And I think I like the idea of, let's say I go to four different clubs and you have a chance of seeing four different products that have a similarity, but it also has a kind of that identity that you're familiar with in the Evolve experience. So I that was a lot deeper than I was going to mention, just the fact that I happen to see your product. But I mean, that's got to be a pretty cool feeling that while you are creating this unique product and experience, you do still maintain that visual identity that defines Evolve, right?
Yeah, I think so. But I think in you know, you take a facility as fine as Ballyhack, right, as an example, right? They're trying to create this incredible experience. And I think the Dormy properties have kind of been part of that kind of return to golf, right? In a lot of ways, if we do our job right, we stand behind their brand. And our brand is much quieter, right? People come to respect what we've done, but we're not, you know, we're not the big logo on the side. It's what Ballyhack's about. It's about that experience, you know, whether it's a buddy's trip or a corporate outing or just a day on the links, you know, it's something that if we do it well, we've created an experience.
Yeah. And I thought it fit in really well with the profile there. I mean, the clubhouse, that whole facility, just the presentation was this almost wood-based visual that just sits atop the whole golf course. And you go into the pro shop and you've got some older presentation in the tables that are in there, and sure enough there is a product that I felt somewhat familiarized with, which I thought was cool. But it definitely does suit that presentation. I think what I'm getting out of this, Ben, is that you are a big fan of that, but you also want to allow the golf course to present their identity through your product beyond just what you can stamp or what you can apply to what's currently existing. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want them to come to us with, you know, for Ballyhack, I think it's a goat, right? If I remember the icon, right?
Yeah.
You know, they might come to us for a custom shape that's related to the goat, or, you know, but then how do you execute that well? And some, you know, anybody can do a shape of a goat, but how do you do it unique to the property, you know, and what's true to their brand and what they're trying to communicate. It's that's the challenge. Some customers, it's you know, I'll be frank, you know, some country clubs are like, we want two green bands and, you know, a date above them and on a golf tee, and that's okay. We do a lot of that, you know, and I get that's the standard, and we need to communicate that. But sometimes they'll come to us and say, you know, we had one, it was unreal. The Wynn Resort came to us and said, so we acquired this Desert Rose Inn, I think, or the Desert Inn, and we've got this gorgeous rug that's really belonging. It's been part of the facility forever. can we make golf tees out of the rug? And not truly to take the rug and tear it up, but here's the design. Here's a picture. How do you do this?
Yeah.
And so we were taking all of the different color schemes on the border and making bands out of them. We were taking the elements of these really kind of illustrated, I guess they're plants, but you'd have to see it to understand. It's kind of a really unique thing. And at the end of the day, we created like 8 or 9 different designs. I can't remember what the final was. And the idea would be that as the composite of all those tees in one bin was the rug. We had another facility do something similar out in, it was out in Mexico. I can't remember which one was, but they wanted to do a serape blanket design. And so we had to figure out, how do we make golf tees look like a serape blanket?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We took all the colors out of the serape. We used the serape kind of banding and created a serape tee. It was pretty cool. So I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Everybody's going to laugh at me.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. It sounded good to me. So that's great that you have that freedom even now. And so moving into the new facility, do you think those kind of ideas are going to get expanded on? Do you think the flexibility to be even more creative will be there? What's going to change in that component of?
Well, I think the biggest dynamic right now that's going on is the creative team. Like we have somebody that's heading up Foundry Works. We have somebody that's going to be heading up Leatherworks. We've got somebody heading up Woodworks. And to see those three heads come together on ideas in some of our brainstorming meetings has been really cool. So the ideation, I think, is a big part of it. I think that's the thing I'm most excited about, is the unknown, right? I mean,
When
you go in and say, hey, we're going to do custom works, that means a lot.
And just to circle back on that, you have, what's your current space like? You had mentioned the new one's around 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, we're 2,500 square feet and stacked on top of each other right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got a ton of growth coming real quick. It's almost like you're gonna have to get cell phones or pagers or whatever you need to get to. Walkie talkies is what you need. You're so unfamiliar with the gaps between everyone. That's great. I hope you are. I know it's a long time coming for you, and I want to circle back also on the custom stuff and just ask you, for purely from an activity standpoint, has it been an absolutely crazy summer?
We talked about this last time. I said I've never seen anything like it. It's just continued. I mean, we have the negative side of the business is having to turn away orders, where we recognize that, you know, this is our production capacity. This is our production schedule. And these are tournament, you know, these are tournaments. These are just, you know, distinct dates you can't miss. And knowing that you need to leave the variance in your production schedule for the inevitable. You know, something always happens when you least expect it. And that's I think been the hard part, is, you know, just being full throttle over the last, I think we're coming up on over 24 months. You know, when golf got back, you know, I think that would be kind of July of 2020. It's just not stopped.
Really? It like all the way through, even with the highs and lows of summer, winter, everything just keeps going for you.
Zero stop. We had no off seasons. Evolve Golf has been around a while. I mean, we started the company in 2003, and I've never seen anything like this. It has not slowed down, not once. When we get to the off season, we're building production for spring orders. I mean, our fall pre-book for spring, summer next year is already through the roof, and we haven't even introduced the new product lines to our customers. We're doing some custom woodwork jobs. We're doing some custom leatherwork jobs right now. We had a very deliberate intent when it came to introducing these product lines, is that we would take it slow, that we wouldn't go ball, you know, just straight all through the, you know, full throttle, let's say.
Yeah.
That we would look at it. And now we're looking at, you know, Foundry Works is sold out through April. We've got no room on the dance card. So that getting into the new space will allow us to breathe a little bit. We'll be able to increase the production capacity, you know, add anvils for EC2 Foundry, add another press, you know, those kind of things. And that should free us up. So we're kind of excited about that part. It's a long-winded answer, and I know it's chaotic, but it's frustrating and exciting at the same time.
No, I think it's great. I think that's the kind of answer we're looking for, the understanding of the craziness that goes on. And you hear it at different levels throughout the industry, and certainly the only thing that's going to save you, it sounds like at this point, is just the extra space. So you had mentioned in there a little bit about new products going into the cat or into the catalog. Can you tease us at all on anything that's coming, or is that all under wraps right now?
I think the big tease I gave you was the multi-tool that's coming. Okay. I mean, I think that from a availability, that's something that's certainly going to be available in the market. I think the custom capabilities that we're going to bring to bear with Woodworks is going to be unique. We're going to do some fun things around games and, just really trying to create unique pieces. Like a TPEG game, like that's right in our alley. Why wouldn't we do that? Right.
Yeah.
But you know, upcycling pieces, we did a piece for Dow, for the Great Lakes Bay Invitational. It was made of hickory. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous little TPEG game. And the tees that went into it were made from the fencing from the prior year's event, which was an incredible story. We were really fortunate that Dow reached out to us and gave us the chance to do that. So it's unique things like that that we hope to bring to bear. It's the upcycling. It's just the small pieces, the small batches.
So how does that work out? They get all the fencing from the former year and they just had it placed somewhere, and you took that on and.
Yeah, I mean, it was a collaborative effort. A lot of companies were involved. So Dow, you know, brought in, I think it was KW Plastics out of Alabama. They're a huge recycler. Sent the fencing down to them. They baled it. They ground it up and made it back into pellets. Those pellets were sent up to us. We partnered with our injection molding partner, Core Technology, and we then injection molded the recycled fence pellets into golf tees and ball markers and divot tools and. Yeah, it was something else. It was a really neat project.
So correct me or forgive me if I'm not familiar with the actual process of epoch tees currently, but how much can you go into that with recycled products? I know you're looking for alternative ways to create the tees from a biodegradable concept, but what about actual recycled plastic? Is that a big part of that, or can it be a big part of that?
It can be a big part of it, and it is a big part of it for us. I mean, we regrind all of our reclaimed tees and overage and, you know, any type of scrap that might come out of custom logo prints, things like that. So we make sure that gets added in. We're zero waste when it comes to production. But what we're working on right now is something called Project T-Clam. I don't know if we talked about this.
We did talk about it. Yeah. Where people actually get a chance to send their products back once they're done. And I've been trying to keep that in mind every time I break an epoch, even though it's hard to do.
We haven't figured out how to do that at the consumer level yet, but it's much easier at the club level, where they may be going through, you know, 50 to 100,000 tees on an annual basis, being able to reclaim them. And we've been able to separate out, you know, sometimes you'll have a mix of wood and plastic. So as you know, people don't always put everything that they should in a small, you know, recycling bin. And we made these little boxes with just a shape of the epoch, so they know to drop it in, like operation style, right? The
old game.
It's something that we're really considered on, but you know, I think, you know, here's a small tease. This is 100% compostable epoch that we're in test with right now. It's super durable. We're really excited about that level of durability. Oh, I went off the camera. Sorry. The level of durability. It needs a little bit more rigidity, but we're getting really close to having 100% compostable, made from plants, goes back into the ground. It's just like leaves in the dirt. It's gone. And something that, you know, I mean, all the wood teas are imported from overseas. So to be able to, you know, source the material, the plants from our farms, you know, here domestically, make the product domestically, make it, you know, on an electric injection molding machine with offset wind and power. I mean, we're going, I think the future of golf tees for us is try to get to cradle to cradle sustainability, you know,
That looks like a pretty significant improvement since the last time we talked. And I know things move quickly, but I also seem, every time I speak to you, Ben, it seems like you're truly, truly passionate about that piece of the puzzle. So you have to be thrilled that you are closing the gap on that.
Yeah, it's a huge commitment. It's a 20-year commitment on our part. And there's a lot of people that have helped us to get to where we are. I think the materials that we're working on are have far greater impact beyond golf tees too, right?
Yeah.
And we're part of, you know, a big coalition that's working on that, that spans well outside of golf into other industries, from packaging to automotive. You know, so we think we're getting close in this arena. But it's not a small investment. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that this is something that clubs want. You know, we want to make sure the aesthetic is similar to wood. We're working with natural fibers to get that aesthetic. So we're pretty fired up about it.
And how about changing the color profile? Is that a harder thing to do? And obviously, lighter it is, the easier it is to see, or I guess the more neon in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly get there. Temperature profiles on some of these materials will darken them, right? Mm-hmm. It's no different than like sugar, right? You caramelize it, it gets dark, right? That's the whole, it's very similar to that process.
Okay.
So yeah, we think we'll be able to get a light material. One second.
Sure.
This is something we worked on for, I'm sorry, I'm terrible on the screen. There, that you see, that's pretty, got a nice translucent to it, and you can see the fibers that are in it. The shadow is my finger, right?
Yeah, finger. So is that a ball marker there, Ben?
That is,
so we're looking at a ball marker on the screen there. Here. Yeah, it's quite a bit lighter than the tea you showed earlier, which more had a more of a brown hue. This is quite a bit lighter than that, actually,
like a honey, right? It's,
yeah,
it's kind of honey,
yeah,
and absolutely. You can see the fiber in it, so
okay,
we're getting close, but this is too rigid, it's too brittle. Okay. It's great for a ball marker, not great for a golf tee, and so there is our challenge.
Yeah, for sure. But you're also not totally focused on all these huge improvements or custom runs for golf courses. I did see in the shop you've got some pretty fun Halloween style tees hanging out there for people to get. I know I saw you guys had a sale going at one point to clear up some inventory. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I ask this probably every time, and I'll keep asking it. I have to think someone out there is having a little bit too much fun when it comes to these Halloween or themed tees you get to put out. Are you able to do enough of that? Do you feel like you want to do more? And I know this all stems back to the new facility, but
so much more. And
yeah,
the new facility is gonna, like, we're working on a golf tee right now. It's, we're just calling it our spicy release, and
okay,
it is so cool. It has the Scoville units and three colors going up on it. It's got, you know, this big chili pepper in the cup. I mean, it is just so on point for what we want to do. But yeah, I mean, we had fun with the jack-o'-lantern. That sold out in like a week. Mm-hmm. We're like, it's not even the beginning of September and it was just gone, cleared out. Now we've got a witch up on the website. It's like a bright orange tee with black bands. It's got a little witch in the cup.
Yeah.
Those are fun things to be able to do. And that's what's great about having the maker spaces. We can do these, you know, small batch runs, and it doesn't hurt our production schedule. Like, you just sneak it in. You can make them in, you know, 30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that was the biggest problem that my biggest takeaway from the last time is, it's not that you don't want to do it, it's that you're effectively taken away from someone else's order by doing it, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so we've increased our production capacity on print this year, and that's allowed us to get into a better place. We're still struggling with the printing on the sides of the tees. We had three high-speed golf tee printers, and now we're up to five. And even that is not enough. So we're, you know, the problem is the lead time on equipment. I'm sure you've heard this from other folks. It can take up to 18 months to get a big piece of equipment in.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we're closing in on a little bit of a reprieve there, but yeah, I feel like we've heard the same thing for a couple of years. So it's hard to say that people aren't being accurate at this point. What about Motion Wool? I know it's been a product that THPers talk lots about, very interesting design and lightweight, breathable product. But are things changing on that front?
Yeah, we finally were able to, in this summer, get enough on the production schedule to drop some new looks for just stock. I mean, all of our production in our knitting was focused on customs for our club customers. And I think there's some pretty new, fresh looks up on the website. You know, we've got a new half crew that should be coming later this fall that we're super excited about. We're doing this whole like play local design. You know, we're kind of excited about that. But then we just also have just traditional designs. I mean, just great colorways, and that's something we're fired up about. And then we're working on something for upcycling with material that's separate from what we're currently doing with the merino wool. So I can't say too much on that, but that's coming. Okay. We hope over the winter.
Yeah.
But it's completely recycled materials, and we're fired up about it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And very interesting to the Half crew. I know there's a pretty solid contingent of younger golfers that seem to really like showing a little sock nowadays. And I mean, if you start pulling that spicy attitude from your tees into the socks, you might see an uptick. If you put a little pink and blue in there too, you might see some THPers jump. So
there is some pink and blue in one of the colorways in the Half crew. It's a pretty cool gradient. One of our marketing designers took a sunset off the Appalachian Trail. We used the color scheme from it to pull it in. So it was pretty cool. And there's some pinks, some blues, some oranges. It's really neat.
Cool. Yeah. I the last time we talked, I had mentioned that I was surprised at the experience I got with Motion Wool. I think this misnomer we sort of touched on is crazy. A lot of people pair up cotton with wool because it's been effectively in the same conversation for so long that all these tech materials, you don't hear wool and think tech material because it's been around for so long. But you know, I've been pleasantly surprised every time I wear them. I've really enjoyed my experience with them, and I'm curious to know out there for everyone else if you've tried them yourself, whether you've had them. Obviously Ben here speaks highly based on the experience, but sure, you know, they're constantly changing and improving, and I just wanted to make a point of saying I've really been impressed by them. So
I appreciate that. We that's a big part of it, is that feedback loop. And when we started the design, we were talking to runners, we were talking to golfers. We wanted to make something that was comfortable on the foot, that breathed really well and moisture wicked. And you know, it's funny, people think wool, they're like, no, not for summer, but you wear an ultralight wool and it moisture wicks so well that after 18 holes, your feet are still dry, they're comfortable. You know, if it's 105, it's 105, but if at least your feet are dry, there's some comfort there.
Right. And these are the same people going out and buying the six pack of Fruit of the Looms saying, oh, these will be fine for golfing, right? You know,
stakes have been made. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, put a little investment in what do you pay for shoes? You're not willing to put that money into socks too. Like that, to me, there's a big story there that needs to be told a little bit more. I know it's not visually flashy to wear socks, but you're solving that with the Half crews, which I really appreciate. So that's cool. I don't want to keep you too long today, Ben, but is there anything else crazy going on that you'd love to share with the listeners? I know everyone's really excited to see how things change for you guys, especially over the next year, but what else has been going on this summer? Anything crazy?
We're working on a sneaky little small batch release for the Hackers Paradise again. So we've got you know, a couple things coming. There's a Motion Wool sock back here. It's a new colorway. I don't even think Mr. Babbitt knows about that one yet.
So, okay.
We were able to sneak that in, and we're going to do some hand forged pieces again, kind of a limited run. Yeah. Might even sneak a wood piece in. We'll see if we can get the new space opened up in the next couple of weeks, and we'll fire up some new ideas that we've got prototyped. So it's all about creating some fun stuff.
Yeah. Is there anything, I know you do quite a bit on the side, just from a purely passion based activity, just because you seem to be a very curious guy. Is there anything you've been working on, or you've been looking at the cars, anything changes there? I'm sure you've had a busy summer.
Yeah. It's been work related. I got to be honest. Okay. the vintage BMW is still sitting waiting for me to put in a new differential. And I'm kind of fired up about getting that done here when the weather cools. We've had an amazing week here in the Carolinas. It feels like the fall. It's been like, you know, 68, 70 degree mornings and dry. It's been nice. So hopefully I can start wrenching on the car this fall.
Oh, good for you. Well, you've certainly deserved it. And we've really enjoyed, personally, just speaking from my own experiences, I love seeing your product in golf stores, not golf stores, pro shops. It's so fun to feel like there's something to relate to, and knowing you guys do make great products. When I see Epoch Tees, I get so excited. I don't know why.
I was messing around with a couple different ones. The epochs always end up back in the bag. They're just so easy to use. And not having to change all the time is it's my thing. Let's just be honest. It's my thing.
Sure. So,
do you have any questions for me today, Ben?
Oh goodness. Man, I'm not gonna dial up the live argument. I won't even do it.
Oh, we can. I mean, you
all right. How about that? Who's your pick for the President's Cup? We're kind of excited to have it here in our backyard.
I mean, I've never really been invited to play. Well, I guess the President's Cup. Yeah. Who's my pick? Like USA or
who do you think?
I'm leaning our team. why not? I mean,
I think it's strong this year.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of live talk on the Off Course podcast. I feel like there's a lot of that out there in media right now, and I mean, go on Twitter and you can get all the live talk you need. But it's been really interesting hearing those guys talk about it, and it seems more so on the European side. They're talking like, Rory said they need a refresh, and you're not going to miss some of these dudes. And then the people from the US are looking over like, yeah, I really like that idea too. You should totally not have all those really highly skilled players on your team. So,
right.
How do you
feel? I just want to see good competitive golf. I mean, that's the thing. And I think there's enough young pups right now on the PGA Tour that are making it really interesting. So we'll see how it rolls out. But I'm looking forward. We're hopefully going to get out to Quail Hollow for a day, maybe next Friday, and just kind of walk around the greens with good partners with the Carolinas PGA and, you know, the PGA of America being a big host. You know, got to go out and support the PGA members that support us.
Oh, so you have you are all fired up. I dig that. That's cool. You're gonna get out there. Have you
walked
been
the grounds?
Yeah.
No? Yeah, I've been up to Quail once before, so kind of excited to get up there again.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I certainly haven't had the privilege, but yeah, I'll be honest with you, Ben. With how much golf I've been trying to play, and I've got a son who's really getting into it. He's 6 and a half now, and just ripping the ball. I can't brag
that's
on him
fun.
Enough. Just don't tell him I said that. He doesn't know. I'm so impressed. Okay, so. But yeah, I feel like actually watching golf has been taking a bit of a back seat. So it'll be fun to finally dive in back into another tournament or whatever you want to call it. I guess cup, if you will.
There you go.
But yeah, it's interesting you brought that up. Are you getting a sense of change at all? Are you taking on some of this and just having weird vibes from this whole separation between competitive golf and live golf? Throwing that barb there.
I'm old. I don't know. This feels a little bit like the USFL, like it's going to bark in the media for 2 years and then maybe not run its legs out. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I like the XFL comparison a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's some components that Liv is going to challenge into the PGA Tour that might make it a little bit more interesting for both the players and for spectators. And if, you know, so from that perspective, competition is good. But yeah, I'd like to see it continue in the way it has been. I don't want to see this, you know, kind of factioned golf, you know, that gets silly, because you want to ultimately, if it keeps going in this direction, you might end up with, you know, two world-class players that should be facing off that aren't facing off. And that doesn't make sense. And I know they talk about the majors not, you know, being prohibitive for the players, but you just never know where this is going to go. And I think that would be bad for the game.
And you do make an interesting point there, not competing. I mean, we have the Euro Tour and the PGA Tour, and it's always, it seemed to play pretty fairly with each other, but you know, there was someone out there who made some really good points about the ranking system and the viability of actually getting into tournaments. And it's hard to say someone's earned points when they don't have a cut. They don't have to play into the tournament. It seems to be like a free play, or at least starting out the week. So is it a balanced level to other people? It's an interesting argument. And then when you start to talk about majors, well, who's really earned that spot, right?
Exactly right. Yep.
So that's interesting.
See how that plays out. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're going to watch some good golf next week here in the Carolinas. We're all excited about it.
And yeah.
Getting out there and knocking it around with your son has got to be amazing. I know, you know, both of mine are grown and off in college, and I do miss that part of it. That was always a great fun.
Yeah, it's been special. And what's interesting to me is watching him find ways to actually make solid contact. He went from like barely even swinging at the start of this year to now he's peppering drives like 100, 110, 120 yards. And he looks back at me and I'm like jaw dropped. Like, getting so pumped up. I might just start caddying. Who needs me at this point?
Let me ask you, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So I was up in Massachusetts and played a round of golf with my brother-in-law, and he brought out his daughter, who was, I think she's six, same age group. And
yeah.
At first I was like, oh goodness, this is a really busy Saturday. And we're, when I grew up, if you were, under 12 and couldn't, play from the whites and keep up pace of play, you got the side-eyed stares and it was just uncomfortable. Complete different experience. And I was really blown away by how many golfers were supporting her and, rooting her on. And like, even though she was, hitting one off the tee, then going up, picking it up, and then, going out to the 150, hitting another one up, we kept the mm-hmm. pace of play. We were chasing into the group in front of us all the time, but I never felt rushed. And that to me was a big change, I think, in the atmosphere on the golf course, where I hadn't played in a while. That really stood out, how more relaxed golfers were in general, when, you could clearly see that, she wanted to play the game. She was learning to play the game. They were all excited to talk to her about it. So do you find that with your son when you guys go out?
Yeah. So it used to be my experience, especially I have lots of friends who have had children gone through the game. And it was always an understanding that if you chose an afternoon tee time, like even mid-afternoon, so belonging to a private club, if you chose that time, realistically, there's a good chance a family could be out there playing, and you got to be mindful of that.
Absolutely.
But the big thing for me with my son is we've learned basically three things. Number one, I want you to have a great time. Number two, I want you to not be the last person to be back at the cart, either off the tee or on the green, so he's never holding up the play. And number three, don't get mad because we've got a long way to go.
Absolutely.
So, just be a fun playing partner. And we do have a pretty strict pace of play policy at my golf course. And I'm certainly one that takes it seriously, adhering to that. And we played, it was really cool. I played with a regular playing partner and his father, and they were blown away, not just at how well behaved my son was for a 6.5-year-old playing a full 18 holes and like being fully into it the whole time, but also just absolutely 100% focusing on how much he respects other golfers while he plays. He's learned not to speak, he's learned not to move around when someone's putting, all the little critical things that as a middle-aged man, you'd be like, oh, get this kid away from me. He doesn't right. do it. And I think that's the big part of it. Once you see a kid who treats the game either at the level you do or higher from a respect and etiquette perspective, suddenly you're like, it breathes fresh air into a group, I really think. And Ben, what's nice for us is we have a junior set of tees at my golf course, so he doesn't have to hit off the front set of tees. We go, so the first hole is like 400 yards. He goes to like 200 yards and hits a ball from the junior tee there, which is really great. And it also means he has a chance at making par. So not only is he hitting good shots, but now he's like almost lipping out birdie putts.
That's amazing.
And you get that feeling. The feeling of birdie putts, but
absolutely.
If you pick one and you hit it off the tee and your dad says, go pick it up, we'll go to this number, you'll hit it again, you pick it up again. Like, that doesn't feel like a birdie. But when this kid ropes one down the fairway, then hits one on the green and basically lips out a birdie putt, it's like, wait.
This is too much fun. Yeah.
So it just breathed life into the group. And I love that. I know that not everyone feels that way. And I know not everyone feels that way about children in general, but I think the game has really opened the door to, as long as you respect the game, allowing kids to really get the freedom to enjoy it with a bunch of different generations, which I'm into. I'm glad you asked that. That's a big deal.
It is. We need more players in the game, and you want kids to have that awesome first experience. Because I think that every single person I've ever talked to that, has really caught the bug, had that awesome first experience at some mm-hmm. level, at some age, and the people that I've talked to that are like, I just can't, you kind of dig in a little bit and you're like, God, there were so many ways that day could have gone better for you. That's awful. Sorry to hear that, So
yeah,
that's amazing.
All he needs is like a little bridge to put his ball on the 17th hole, because it's like a 130 yard carry over the water. It's a real tough one. So we'll work on that for next year. But Ben, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm so excited to see how Evolve changes as you get into your new facility. I'm rooting for you guys, and we look forward to more updates soon.
We appreciate it, Dan. We got to drag you guys out when it's time. You gotta get up and check it all out.
I'd love it. Well, hey, everyone out there, if you are golfing this weekend, have a great time. Use those Epoch tees. They last forever. Count on it. See you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.